is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon to you. Thanks for being here. Well, tomorrow, the Roseburg Public Library begins the reopening process. Like everything else around us, it's in phases. Chris Wiley, Library Director, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on, Kyle.
I suppose it's a real quiet day over there for you today with not much going on.
Right? Oh, you know, it's a bit of scrambling to do those last-minute things we need to get done before we open tomorrow.
So what kinds of things have you been doing to get ready?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've been closed since March 14th. That's a long time. And one of the things we had to get done was just tidying everything up. We've been doing a drive-up pickup since the end of March, and things get out of place that way. So we've been doing a lot of tidying up. But I think what people are really going to notice when they come into the library first is that we have a plexiglass barrier now between patrons and the staff, and that's really for everybody's protection. But it's really a different way of providing service than we've been used to. We'll still, of course, issue cards, check out materials, but we just have that extra layer in between us. I think one of the other things that folks will notice is that we have fewer computers available, and that's because we're practicing social distancing. Fortunately, the end of last week, we were able to get two extra computer stations in place, so now we have eight rather than the six we thought we would have. We think we're going to have a lot of people wanting to print, wanting to get online, and so we were really happy to be able to get two more stations.
Well, I'm sure it's been an interesting time at libraries, like a lot of other things. I mean, you deal with the library folks, just like people in other communities deal with the education people and all of that. And so you've got all these standards, and here you have a whole essentially industry trying to rework some things.
I went into the public library business to be in customer service field, to work with patrons. And this is a whole different way of looking at public libraries. We've been really focused since we opened on bringing people into the library. And now we're having to reconsider how we do programming, how we get materials to people. We are so happy to have people coming back. We know they're excited. We're excited too. But to ask them to limit their visit to 1 hour is not why we're in the library business, but this is where we are right now, and we are asking that because we're open limited hours, and we want everybody to be able to have a chance to get their materials.
I imagine at the beginning of this, it'd be interesting to see just what happens at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
I know. Part of me thinks people will kind of wait and see. Part of me thinks there's going to be a big crowd outside. I guess I don't really know, but we are going to have someone in the lobby, and we'll be counting the number of people. We're going to limit it to 50. And yes, we do have what appears to be a very big space, but then you start putting in shelving, and you start enclosing the children's room and the teen room. And all of a sudden, we needed to rethink how many people can we as a staff really see in here at one time. And we're starting conservatively. We can always add. What we hope doesn't happen is that we would have to pause or step back. So we're starting with 50 at one time. We'll have someone at the front door managing that process. And we just ask people to be really patient with us. This is new for us, too.
I think in a lot of areas where you've had different types of facilities reopen, you've had a mix of that. You've had excitement, but some people that are like, well, we'll wait till the second week. You know, I'll let them get the kinks out of it. Or, you know, everybody has different levels of comfort in dealing with the situation.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we heard from folks when we started doing our drive-up service was, don't stop that when you reopen. And we're really happy to hear that. And so we are continuing our pickup service. That's Thursday afternoons from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can stay in your vehicle. There will be designated parking spots for you, and you can give us a call. We'll bring out the materials just as we have been for the last couple of months. We ask that if you want to take advantage of that service, give us a call. We'd just like to know, because it does take some time to gather those materials. We're at 541 492-7050, 492-7050, or library@cityofroseburg.org.
Now, we'll go through each of the phases and talk about specific changes here in a bit, but talk about maybe some of the things, like, for instance, it's summertime, kids are out of school, although they've been out of school a long time, but that's a whole other topic. What about the children's programs?
It was a huge blow for us, really, when this all happened, because we knew it was going to seriously affect the summer reading program. That is what libraries are known for as much as anything, and we have prided ourselves on our first successful reading program last summer. But we had to rethink how we were going to deliver that service. And Aurora Oberg, our youth services librarian, and her crew have done an amazing job. They have grab-and-go crafts every week, a new one on Thursdays, so you can pick it up at the drive-thru, or now you'll be able to come in and pick it up. And they also go around to the meal sites, the Lunchbox Express. They are at Saddle Butte, Eastwood, Thompson Park, and Stewart Park every Thursday. And they just follow Lunchbox Express and hand out grab-and-go craft kits. On our website at rosebergpubliclibrary.org, right at the top of the page, describes the summer reading program. We still are doing logs. And for the kiddos, we want them to develop a daily reading habit. So that's what we're asking them to track. And you can bring that on in for prizes. The first prize is a book bag that says read, period, and rosebergpubliclibrary.org. We're excited to get our brand out there.
No, that's neat. And what about some of the things you normally do? You got to do them all different.
We do. We had received a grant from the Douglas County Cultural Coalition to do a number of special events. We were going to work with the Park and Rec Department out at the Movies in the Park on Friday nights in Stewart Park. That all was scrapped. And so Aurora got together with some of those performers, and three of them are going to do an online performance that people will be able to watch at their convenience. None of it's going to be live. It'll all be posted on our website for various amounts of time, depending on the performer's preference. So three of those. And then we're really excited because with part of that grant money, we're going to do a story walk. And these are large books, oversized books. And we got them donated from Altrusa. You laminate them, you put them on something like a realty size sign, and then you space them out along a trail in a park. And families can go and enjoy a book together. And we're looking forward to putting those out in different parks throughout the city this summer. Right now, we're in the process of getting things laminated and put on those boards, and then there will be a schedule posted on our website.
Wow, I don't think I've seen that before. And I'm old, and so there were signs many decades ago that you could see on highways that sort of did the same thing, but not to tell stories like that.
It's cool. Pretty fun, and you don't have to worry about publishing rights because you're just taking a book that's already been published and cutting it. We're not changing the design of the book. In the Drain Library, Mildred Whipple Library in Drain is doing the same thing this summer. It's pretty cool.
Now, what about you've got the Ford room, you've got the multipurpose rooms. How does that work in terms of their use during all of this?
That was probably the longest conversation with all of the players, the Douglas ESD, City Administration, the Library Commission, because we have these community spaces, and that was the whole point, is to provide this opportunity for people to gather. The biggest change is that our Deer Creek room is no longer available because we need a place to quarantine returned materials. We quarantine them for 72 hours when they come back to us, once they've left the building in any way, shape, or form, 72 hours. The South Umpqua room right next door to that is being used by the Douglas ESD. They have 50-plus people in the building when they're all staffed, and they need more space for their meetings. They need to distance as well. That leaves the Ford room. We're backing down to 25 capacity, and we are still making it available 24/7, but if you want to book it when the library and the ESD are closed, the fee is now $75. And I help people get through all the process of booking it. I'm 541-492-7051.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Chris Wiley, Roseburg Public Library Director. Reopening begins tomorrow. The interview will podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us on Talking Health this afternoon at 4. Chris Wiley, Roseburg Public Library Director, getting ready to reopen the library tomorrow. Got to be excited.
I am. I'm really happy to be able to see our patrons coming back in the door. We've seen a lot of them through the drive-through on Thursday afternoons, but we noticed today that people who haven't been doing the drive-through are placing holds. The word is getting out that we'll be open tomorrow from 11 to 4.
So you're doing these in phases. Kind of explain the idea there.
We rely a lot on volunteers. We couldn't do what we do without them. And this reflects that because we're not bringing them back right away. And we needed to rethink what our hours would be with the staff we have in place, which I'm full-time and Aurora, our youth services librarian, is full-time. We have a full-time rare AmeriCorps participant. We have a half-time circulation supervisor. And we have 3 10-hour-a-week library aides. And we needed to cover as many hours as we could, knowing that what we have to do to provide services. And so this gives us a chance to kind of evaluate for 2 weeks. Are we able to manage this? And slowly building on that, our hope is to increase the hours. So that's why we're starting with Tuesday and Thursday. And Tuesday is 11 to 4. This Thursday is 3 to 8 p.m. Of course, we're closed because of July 4th. We picked this week partially because we only wanted 2 days this week to really see what we were going to see. We don't know what we don't know, right? And then next week, we're going to add on Saturdays from 10 to 2. If everything goes well, we're going to add 2 hours on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're going to build up to our original hours on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And that would be at the end of July, on July 28th. You can see our entire schedule on our website at roseburgpubliclibrary.org.
And I know that before all of this situation that we're dealing with, you guys were looking at maybe adding some additional hours as well.
Yeah, our hope had been to add 4 hours sometime this year, so we would be up to 38. Of course, that is on hold right now. We want to see how services can be provided with these hours. And we know we can't reopen our full hours without those volunteers. And we're not bringing them back during public service time at all until after Labor Day.
So everybody, if you create sanitizer, you're probably a very well-off person right now because it's everywhere. But how do you deal with that in terms of a library and books and paper and all that?
Yeah, we read a lot of the research that was out there, and they're doing a lot of studies at this point in time. The federal organization, Institute of Museum and Library Services, is doing a big study about how long the virus lives on typical library materials. They came back just in the last week or so with preliminary results that 3 days, 72 hours, kills it on the things like the Mylar that's on books that covers them. Paper is very limited amount of time. Cardboard is limited amount of time. So we took a look at that. We feel very comfortable that our 3 days of quarantining is, and it's just time. We don't wipe them down. We leave them in their own room, and we just give them time. We are really going to be aware of our computer areas and wipe those down after every use. And that's going to be staff that's taking care of that. And we're encouraging masks for everyone coming in the building. We are requiring masks for everyone who uses the computers. And we have hand sanitizer everywhere.
Wow. Just a different world.
it is. We had hand sanitizer before, but not to this extent, and we will be encouraging people to use them. That's the hope. They'll come into the lobby. We're going to say, please use the hand sanitizer, because we know that they're going to touch some books that the next person is going to touch. So if we can have everybody use hand sanitizer before they walk into the building, we really hope that we have a clean environment, that everybody understands that this is a shared space and we all need to do our part.
As people are wandering in maybe a category that they like to pull from and read in, let's just say science, and they're looking at books, I suppose you would probably essentially say, don't touch it unless you think you want to check it out.
That would be in a perfect world. But that's why we are focusing on getting people to use the hand sanitizer before they walk in. While they're in there, we have hand sanitizer around the building that they're taking care of their hands before they're touching that material.
What about, now you mentioned volunteers and not pulling them back in yet. What kind of time is it going to take just to keep going around and sanitizing counters and things like that?
And that's why we don't really know yet. We know that the computers are going to take a lot of our focus. And we have two people at the front desk who will be managing computers. We're going to have our supervisor there all the time. We're going to have someone out at the front desk. We are hoping that people are self-aware about the spaces that they're using, because we're happy to get them some wipes to wipe down their area. We're going to be walking around. We have our custodial staff that will be handling some of the countertops and the tables that are in the back. It's a whole new way of looking at things. What we really want people to understand is that it's unfortunately not a library that we should be hanging out in for long periods of time. We're asking people to stick around for an hour at the most, come in, do their browsing, and then take off and go home and read, or go outside and read. At this point in time, we just want people to kind of circle through pretty quickly, not hang out too long. That minimizes all of those cleaning things that we have to do. Of course, we're still going to do all of that sanitizing.
It's interesting how many different places in the health guidance, it applies differently to each environment, but that's kind of the message. Come in, do what you need to do, and then leave.
Yeah, and it's really antithetical to what a public library is, and my hope is that sooner rather than later, we can get back to the way that we want the public library to work. But in these times, we need to be flexible and nimble, and we're adjusting. We are doing programs online with story times on Wednesdays. They get posted at 10:30 on Facebook, and we have the grab-and-go kits, and we still have tons of materials. We have electronic materials if you don't want to hold a physical book. We're still providing services. It's just a little bit different community space than we're used to.
One thing I've noticed in the education and arts areas, too, is when you are able to do these story times, do these other events, and have them captured virtually, that people can access them later. They don't have to show up Wednesday at 3. You know, if they can't be there, they're out of town that day, they get back to town, they want their kids to see it, they could watch it at 8 o'clock at night. And so it gives you some options for your message and some of the programs you're doing to maybe even be seen and with more people.
I have been pleasantly surprised by the number of Facebook views that we've had on our story times. You miss that interaction that you get by being all together and the socialization that can come with it. But I know Aurora and Mark are absolutely getting across the early literacy tools that young people need, and that's their goal with story times. That is still happening. Aurora's story times are in the 20-minute range. Mark's musical story times are more in the 10-minute range, and Aurora's are every week, and Mark's are every other week, and they get posted on Facebook, and I've been incredibly happy with the response from the community.
Well, it all opens again tomorrow, 11 a.m., Roseburg Public Library. Any final thoughts for people if they're thinking about coming tomorrow?
please be patient and understand that this is new for us too. And give us a call if you have any questions, 541-492-7050 or rosebergpubliclibrary.org or library@cityofroseburg.org.
All right, Chris Wiley, Director of the Roseburg Public Library, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.